Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mistletoe and wine, ladies and gentlemen. It's nearly Christmas, but the football ramble is now. My name is Marcus Miller and Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
I've eaten so many mince pies already.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Wonderful time of the year.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, the most wonderful time of the year, in case you were wondering.
Didn't you do that last week, the most wonderful time of the year?
Still is, mate. No. Okay. Special mention for the commentator who said that, I think I mentioned it on the show at the time, he said, it's the most wonderful time of the year, the League One playoffs.
Some people actually believe that.
I think he did believe it at the time. He was well into it. He's at Wembley. It was Wembley for the final. It was a lovely summer's day. He's probably thinking life does not get much better than this.
I think it does. Well, a championship playoff.
He wasn't on that one.
That's further into the summer months.
It is.
And it's a bigger game, as we all know. Claudio Ranieri won the Coach of the Year at the BBC Sports Personality of the Year Awards.
Fair.
Richly deserved.
He was getting pelters on Twitter, though, wasn't he? Why? Not right, though. Well, because I've not had a very good second season. It's like, shut up.
Have some joy in your life.
It's not all been bad, because they're out of the Champions League.
I nominated him for my Man of the Year on the Christmas special, so...
Do you feel that was in tune, an influence?
I feel like I'm in tune with the general public, Jim. It's a lovely place to be.
Yeah. Hashtag Brexit, hashtag Trump.
Let's all have a hug. Let's all have a hug.
You said that he should be on the Time Out magazine.
I think that was you, wasn't it?
All those gags are in the Christmas special.
And some other better ones.
Mark is getting Time Out and Time Magazine mixed up. Yeah. That's one of my faves.
And some Ment gags are in there as well. Well, apart from the great man himself, who's your favourite Claudio? Jim?
I'm going to have to go for who I consider the main Claudio, and I include Mr. Ranieri in that. Claudio Canisia.
That's me as well. That's my one as well.
This never happens.
I knew someone would have Mr.
Yeah,
Caniggia. So
it's got to be Caniggia.
I agree.
I saw him at, it was the FA Cup semi-final that we went to. I think it was...
It was me and you, Jim.
Was it Chelsea-Spurs?
I think it might have been.
Oh, no, it was Chelsea-Liverpool.
I think it might have been.
Yeah. No. I think it was...
That year it was Chelsea-Spurs and Liverpool-Everton.
I was about to say, it was Liverpool v Everton, because I was at the other one.
He was wearing like a snakeskin suit. And nobody seemed to realise, like, that's Claudio Caniggia. That guy's a genuine legend. He played for Boca and River and Dundee. I haven't done the research, but I assume no one else can say that.
Rangers did a classic Rangers thing when he played for Dundee. He turned up and it was like, well, he's actually quite good, right? Well, we'll remove that thorn on our side and sign him on the bench.
Yeah. I've got further reasons why he's the greatest. One is that he's got a son called Axel, and I don't care what you say, that is definitely because he looked like Axel Rose for years. And I'm naming my son after him because he's going to look like him as well.
I think there are three reasons he's potentially named his son that. Because, you know, he's around in the 80s, around in the 90s, very very much of that era. So it's, you know, it's Axl Rose, as you say.
Yeah.
Perhaps Axel Foley from Beverly Hills Cop, or perhaps Axel
Beverly
from
Hills
the
what?
Computer game Beverly Hills Cop.
I thought you said Beverly Hills Cop.
I thought you did as well. The good thing is, Drew, at least no one can rewind that and double check.
He didn't put a banana in that tailpipe.
Who knows?
Is that the porno version?
Well, I assume yes.
Probably. Oh, God, yes.
If it isn't, hello, YouTube.
If it exists, there's a porn of it. So
yeah, exactly.
Presumably that is there.
What's your third
reason?
The
other one I was going to say was the character Axel from the 90s beat-em-up Streets
of Rage.
Also, Kinesia's middle name is Paul.
That's up there with Alan Valderrama.
Yeah.
That's up there with Lionel Messi, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
There's also... another great thing about Claudio Caniggia is that he played in three World Cups, which is brilliant, but one of the great things about that was he played in 90 and 94. Then he was ostracised from the national team for a while. I think about 5 years, because the coach, Daniel Passarella, refused to pick players who had long hair.
That's right.
And Caniggia refused to cut his hair. Take that, the
damn
man.
Damn right, yeah.
Get rid of those sideburns. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, he also came back for World Cup 2002 after that.
That's phenomenal, isn't it?
But didn't play. He was on the bench. They're in England's group, Argentina, that year. Mm. I think he was the first player to be sent off from the bench for having a massive pop at the referee during the Sweden game. And Argentina were terrible that year. They got knocked out in the group stage. Mm. Possibly because they didn't pick Caniggia. He was on the bench the whole time. But yeah, so legend.
Was he doing topless guitar solos?
He was very grunge, wasn't he?
Yeah, he also looks a bit like a stockier Sebastian Bach from Skid Row.
would you say he's grunge? I'd say he was more the Guns N' Roses.
Hair was quite lank, so I'm thinking Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam.
Jim, for me, he's cockrock. Yeah. He is cockrock.
He's
for
a
me.
Bridge. He's hair a bridge metal. For me. Yeah,
I can see both, and I think he can straddle both.
There was me and Jim, unprecedented scenes with both taking Caniggia.
Right.
Who's set out the better case is the question.
We'll share the points. We don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas time.
You don't give to receive.
If you get them, Peter, what have you got in your stocking?
I've got the fine Brazilian defender and Newcastle United hero Claudio Cassapa.
Literally, don't even remember him. Was he black and bald?
Black and bald. Yeah.
Well,
he had short hair anyway. Certainly, but probably the only time a poor performance against Portsmouth killed a man's career. Like, his whole career was destroyed after that moment.
I resent that.
He was a man who captained Lyon to 5 league untitles.
Oh, fair play.
He was Brazilian defender of the year in like 89, 99, something like that. I can't remember. Yeah,
when
99.
Did he play for you, about 2002?
2007 to 2009. I'm actually looking at my Secret Santa gift that somebody got me this year. Newcastle United's Worst Ever Players by Peter Nuttall.
How many volumes?
It's quite a few.
Enormous book.
This is just the e-book?
I thought you'd got all of the Encyclopedia Britannica all taped together.
Is this just directly from the club's archive?
I thought you had 400 copies of War and Peace back to back.
There's some lovely ones. Andreas Anderson, Dave Besant, Titus Bramble.
I've never heard of Andreas Anderson.
Christian Bacedas, Des
him.
Hamilton, Albert Luque.
Pete, how many of these are called Claudio?
Okay. Carl Sorrent.
Just shoehorning it in.
Yeah. Alan Shearer.
Michael Owen's in it.
Is he?
It just basically goes on about how he was blighted by injury after a fairly strong start in one match against Barnsley, I think it was.
A fairly strong start in one match.
But the actual entry goes, after just 9 minutes against Portsmouth at St James's Park in 2007 November, a hopeful punt up the field by Portsmouth seemed to be dropping out of the sky directly onto Kasapa's head. His concentration was broken temporarily and he allowed the ball to bounce. Completely lost, he allowed Benjani to nip in and fire a shot past Steve Harper to make it 2-0. 2 minutes later, a misjudged header by Stephen Taylor puts Kasapa in trouble. And before he could react, Utaka had brushed him aside and taken the ball around a bewildered Steve Harper and annoyed, you'd assume, as well, to make it 3-0. And he never recovered any sort of form.
Well, if you've been embarrassed by Johnny Utaka and Benjani Mwariwari, then you're probably in a bit of a shit.
But I mean, going from five league titles to that.
Did you say he was voted Brazilian Defender of the Year in the late 80s or
1990?
Oh, 99. Sorry. All right,
but I mean, any defender getting beaten by the bounce, that can kill them. I think, in fact, didn't that also happen to Boomsong at one point in his Newcastle?
He had a multitude of problems.
I think I speak for everyone when I say we haven't got time for that line. But I'll tell you something now, Marcus. You've got Claudio Caniggia versus Claudio Kasapa.
Yeah.
You know where they should go.
Do the right thing.
Which is?
Carry on.
Claudio Marchisio.
Okay, okay. More of a serious answer.
I say this because I recently, because he is a box-to-box midfielder. He is versatility
He's good.
In a footballer. He can play all across that midfield. He has an incredible engine on him. Now, obviously, we don't condone this because it's foolish, but he smokes.
Yeah. What does he smoke, though?
Well, I don't know.
Do you mean tobacco?
Other goals. Midfielders. Imagine how good an engine that man has on him. Imagine if he didn't smoke.
I'm sure consecutive managers have suggested that to him.
Not initially.
No.
They probably got him to smoke.
Yeah. How many do you have to smoke for it to have any effect in the first 15 years of smoking?
Again, a YouTube video for next week.
we'll see if we can get you 15 years worth of cigarettes.
Yeah, make me smoke a big AirPod carton of cigarettes.
To make this,
like a naughty dad.
To make this go full circle, famously, to fund the recording of Guns N' Roses' first studio session, they did several medical tests, and it was paid for them. And one of them was studying the effects of no sleep, and the other one was studying the effects of non-stop smoking. I believe two or three of the members of the band did that. So
I bet one of them was bloody Slash. Good God. Yeah. Good God.
Slash reported no immediate change to his lifestyle.
Yeah, so this testing's what?
Cut it down, if anything.
Was this like a 30-year testing? Because it seems to have not.
Hello, that's fine. Yeah, you can stop now.
It's only a long weekend.
Stop bringing Claudio Caniggia? His agent's furious.
I always like the guitarist that put the cigarettes on the end of like the extra string that's kind of hanging off the top of the peg.
They put it in the string between the head of the guitar, don't they, and the string, but it's really tight, yeah.
They stab it into the top of it,
Hendrix,
for the filter.
Hendrix did that.
Hendrix did that.
There was a story of Slash dropping a cigarette down his leather trousers halfway through a very long solo.
Oh, really?
Dearie me. But Luke and Jim have got the point.
Yes!
Yes!
Claudio Caniggia.
High five!
Come on, I can't.
Kasapa didn't make it.
Not this time.
I'll tell you something now. Kasapa is absolutely delighted with a mention on a football show.
Yeah.
Indeed he is. Let's go to the Premier League. Chelsea got even more points. Diego Costa pounced again.
He did, didn't he?
He pounced.
A lot of Sky Sports chat about they're only winning 1-0. It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you keep doing it.
Against a title challenger, yeah.
Don't go see any goals.
In those 11 wins...
Against a title challenger.
In those 11 wins, they've had a lot of clean sheets as well. They're frightening at the moment. I mean, it was a pretty boring game.
Yeah.
And it was only that little glimmer of a chance, and Costa gobbled it up.
It's all he needs these days, isn't it?
It's all he needs.
And then he popped up with a lovely little yellow.
I think I saw a stat on Twitter, so apologies for... whoever I've lifted this from, but I think it was Chelsea's first headed goal of the season.
Wow, I don't know that. That could be cool though. If it is, I'd love that to be true.
I'd bloody love that to be true.
Also, another little stat. Well, get these out of the way because I know how much Donaldson hates them.
I'm against modern stats.
Okay, well, have a bang on this.
Pete hates 87% of stats.
It's good. That was my stat, so yeah.
Carry on.
It's the first time that I can't find it.
You've been statted.
Here we go. Chelsea won their 11th league game in a row on Saturday, a statistic which is noteworthy because only Liverpool, in 2013-14 have managed to win 11 games or more in a row in the league and not subsequently gone to win the title.
That is a big stat, Peter.
There you go.
Big call, Pete. What do you think of it?
He'll cut it out.
What's your analysis?
I'll get it cut out.
Pete, this is a stat you'll enjoy, perhaps, because it...
That was my interest shutting down.
That was my computer shut off, so now I can't do any more stats.
Palace, in contrast, have won one in their last 11.
Yeah. It's a stinker, isn't it? But, I mean, they were playing that team, so... Yeah. Yeah, we'll wait until next week to give our opinion on Pardew.
Okay.
What if they don't win any matches over Christmas, though?
What if they don't win any matches
ever? they must be the worst performing team in Europe now. Because they were up there. They won a couple of matches, didn't they?
I think they're the worst team in England in the calendar year. I think they were a few weeks ago.
Yeah. But I think they've had a win since then. Even so, this is all stat stuff, isn't it, Pete?
Yeah, I like it. Damn, I can't prove my Pardew head.
They are in real trouble. They're, I think, a point above the relegation zone.
Yeah.
I mean, they did work hard in the game. Chelsea just stood up to them too well.
Chelsea stood up to Crystal Palace.
No, but what I mean is that, you know, whenever Palace did have the ball, because there was a point in the second half where they had quite a bit of the possession, but Chelsea just block you off so well.
Yeah, I saw the game and I agree they had parts of the game where they looked okay, Palace. And they did show themselves to be ruthless. They played Man United.
Punch played very well too.
He did, he played well. And they played Man United before that. Mm-hmm. And they showed themselves to be quite ruthless when they got a chance. They carved United apart for that goal. It's a lovely move. And they were able to score. But Chelsea is so miserly at the moment.
Yeah.
They look so well balanced. They know what they're doing. Mm. They're a very, very good team. Very good team. And I'm sure we'll come on to talk about Arsenal in a minute, but Chelsea are a reflection of their manager.
Yes.
It's a massive reflection of their manager, and the best teams are.
Well, that leads me on quite neatly, because Antonio Conte turned up to the Chelsea staff Christmas party, which... It was a big, big surprise. They were expecting just a video message from the big man, but he came to deliver a speech to a rousing reception, stayed for a couple of hours. Now, this is not coaching staff. Mm. These are, you know, security members, the people working in the cafe, yeah. all that kind of stuff. Mm. And actually, Conte was saying, you know, thank you for the work you do. It does have an effect on us on the pitch and all that kind of stuff. And you can imagine Conte doing that every little detail he wants to take care of.
Imagine him walking past like a cafe worker in that party and going, oi, you're playing Saturday.
Then just killing it on the dance floor.
You're playing Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm only joking.
But Conte, you're playing in your role that you're paid to do.
Yeah.
But Conte at Juventus got them going again after they'd fallen down, of course, since the Calciopoli scandal and so on and so forth, and made them the force that they are being reckoned with right now. Obviously, Allegri's done some very good work of his own. And now Conte looks like he's doing that exact same thing to Chelsea. And you're right, Luke. They do look... a reflection of their manager, full of passion, full of grit, determination, but also full of guile and full of cunning and tactical awareness.
Keep going, Marcus.
I'm a Conte as a player, like a really like decent, hard midfield player, but good as well. And it's no surprise that he's taken that sort of mentality into his coaching career. And as I said before, the team are a reflection of him.
Are Manchester City a reflection of Pep? They beat Arsenal 2-1.
Well, I think Arsenal are a reflection of Wenger, for sure.
Well, it's coming up again, isn't it? It's this point of the season where... Well, not necessarily point of the season, but a couple of bad games in a row, and like it's just
they've dropped off.
Yeah, I mean it's the second half is the worrying thing about it, because the performance was just really, really listless, and just, you know, it's Arsenal at their worst. They have this kind of timidity at times where it's just happened so many times. You see that it almost looks like a fear creeps in, and they stop doing basic stuff right, and they just I don't know, they allow themselves to be dominated by teams who are just appear to want it more, and it doesn't seem to matter who the staff.
Look at that back four. It was so weird. And it was shown by the fact that that Theo scored his goal really, really early. It was well taken. I mean, you would argue that the winner for Manchester City was just as well taken, because there wasn't that much space to hit. And also, I think Cech could have done a little bit better, possibly, at his near post.
I've definitely 100%. I don't think he saw the shot coming. I think it was a very hard shot at the near post, and it came for a crowd of players.
Was he put off by the man offside?
He may well have been, I don't think so, actually. I don't think he bothered.
I don't know. There's definitely an argument there, because Silva was
very
quick.
The first goal wasn't offside, was it?
I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah,
I thought it was really close,
but it looked off for me, but then it would, wouldn't it?
I've only seen
it. Got my goggles on.
Yeah, I've only seen it once. I'll refer to
one man's offside as one man's onside.
Well, it seems like it is. First time City have won a Premier League game after being behind at half time since November 2012, Pete. What do you think of that one?
That is a stunning statistic.
4 years.
Considering that they've won league titles, you know.
And that game, by the way, was it was against Spurs and it was 2-1. And Dzeko scored a last minute winner and Silva slipped him in. And it was when AVB was at Spurs. And they battered them. It was 1-0 for ages. They battered them. But Spurs had Bale at the time, but they were always a threat on the break, sort of thing. But it made me think of Spurs v City, not to go off piece too much, but Spurs v City is the definitive entertaining Premier League fixture of this era. I mean,
oh, it's a big shout, but, well, I'm listening.
Listen, since 2011, the results between Spurs and City in total have been 5-1 away, 3-2, 2-1, 3-1, 6-0, 5-1 away, 4-1, 0-1, 4-1, 1-2, 2-0. There's been a lot of big
games. Get that Mercy Monday.
They're good, but some of them have been quite one-sided, though, but I do remember that 3-2 when Spurs came roaring back and Defoe had that chance, and then I think Balotelli scored a late penalty. I would say the biggest or most exciting fixture in the modern era is Swansea versus Crystal Palace.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
5-4 at home.
How modern are we talking?
Because you're only as good as your last fixture.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But that's what I would certainly say. Yaya Toure played.
He did.
He was in there. Fernando as well. So they were going for a bit more of, well, I'd say steel, but Yaya Toure is more of sort of liquid metal.
Yeah, he's a T-1000. But now.
Indeed, Big Veng.
Rusty T-1000.
Big Veng slammed the referees, saying that they were protected like lions in the zoo. Although lions are sort of held, it's more like a captivity kind of situation. Whereas I think referees do get to run around.
It's so typical. I mean, you know, I don't want to bang on about Arsenal too much, but it's so typical.
That would be on a Luke Moore soundboard.
It's so typical. It's so typical of Arsenal that, you know, City are on the ropes. They're a team who've shown to have weaknesses at the back. And do you know what happened? It happened a few years ago, when everyone was beating Man United. Man United looked vulnerable for the first time in years and years. And they were getting beaten all. And you never. It got to the stage. They weren't getting beaten by everyone, but it got to the stage where everyone who played them fancied it.
It was against. It was under Moyes.
That's right. And then Arsenal rolled over 1-0.
We lost 1-0 to a Robin van Weasel shoulder.
Yeah, and it was the most typical
shouldered goal. Absolutely.
I just don't think Wenger's got it in him. I just don't think he's got it in him to say, right, we smell blood here. Mm-hmm. Let's go and get it. Let's blow them away. You score a goal, go again.
That was the season Newcastle won at Manchester United for the first time in my lifetime.
There's your evidence.
Swansea won there. Stoke won there. Yeah. Everyone was winning there.
Particularly true away as well, because the sort of most memorable performances of the past few years have obviously been beating Chelsea at home this season and Man United at home last season. But then away, they struggle so much. Beat City a few years ago, but I mean, it's literally a few years ago. It's just not good enough.
I think one of the frustrating things is actually Arsenal went a goal up. And you thought to yourself, right, go on now, do something. Yeah. And then, of course, the same thing comes back. Man City players wearing the shirts with Gundogan's number 8 on it in tribute to his the badly injured teammate, of course. Even Gundogan himself tweeted that, don't worry, I'm still alive.
I mean, Harambe's tweeting about how stupid that is.
If Arsenal did that, it'd be every week. Are we putting on this week? It'd be like one of those...
I just think they'll try to get rid of the shirts, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, that shirt looks nice. I might buy one for myself.
Indeed, Well, speaking of jerseys, Peter, the Arsenal players were filming creating their own Christmas jumpers. Not quite jerseys, but jumpers.
Well, they were like sticking sort of felt shapes on each other, weren't they?
Yeah, Danny Welbeck had a sort of a tinsely affair going on his jumper.
I can't get enough. I think Santi Cazorla might be the new Zoella. Because he's in so
the
many
new?
Of the
videos. Zoella. We ain't got time for this now, Mark. She's
I know who
YouTube.
She... I thought you were trying to say Zola.
No.
You know, little creative player.
Because I've
spent a couple of on the internet.
Yeah.
I've been fortunate enough, and I was fortunate, really, it's the right word, to spend a couple of hours in Cazorla's company, and he is a great man.
Mm. I would watch him every day. Him and Per... Purdy Pie.
But he's one of those people, because always one of those people who just finds everything funny.
Yeah.
Like, he's infectious, absolutely infectious. He's like, as we said before, he's like a little woodland animal.
He's a delight. He's joyous.
A woodland animal. He's the football Chris Agabusi.
It's worth checking out. Little squirrel.
It's worth checking out that video, though. It's very, very entertaining. It's almost like one of those things where you think, if you took yourself out of the situation and looked at it on its own merits, how did we get here? How are footballers now doing this?
It, absolutely, but I saw that video doing the rounds and thinking, oh God, Arsenal are going to get loads of pelters for this because, you know, they've just had two defeats in a row and now it's like, oh, this is what they're doing, they don't care. And I looked at who was in it, it's like, oh, they're all injured.
Yeah,
they're all injured, might as well, you know.
Listen, they can't win games for us, they can at least raise our social media profile. Yeah.
They can win hearts and minds.
And clubs do think about that, by the way, because I've worked with sponsorship partners who partner up with clubs and the clubs are very sensitive to stuff going out after they've been beaten or whatever. They have to schedule things carefully because the fans do get really annoyed. Because the fans, I think the fans think that, oh, you shouldn't be having a good time and lost games.
Chances are it wouldn't even been recorded in that week.
No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't.
No, indeed.
It'd be like the Hootenanny.
Yeah.
which I believe is done in March.
It is recorded early, isn't it?
3 years early, yeah. March.
Shut up.
It's March 3 years before every year. So that's why it's very clever they managed to get the current artists in there.
Yeah, good predictors.
Yeah. Yeah,
this year's Hootenanny, the 2000s.
Nisloppy.
That was actually filmed in 1999. Yeah. It's Nisloppy, it's My Vitriol.
My Vitriol.
Gay Dad.
And
Manson.
No, it's not. It's not actually Manson this year. It's
Republic.
Marilyn Manson.
Papa Roach.
Papa Roach.
We're going to talk some Premier League after this.
I'm so fancy, but you already know, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. I'm so fancy, but you already know.
Just sensational. Sensational.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Football Ramble. Stoke City 2, Leicester City 2. Mm. Do you remember last season? Do you remember last season? Leicester did this at Stoke last season. It was in September.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got two words for you, Spelzy.
Yeah, go on.
Craig Pawson.
Ah, I thought you were going to say Brown.
Referee.
Yeah.
Again. He refereed both the... I'll just put this out there.
Yeah.
Put it out there without prejudice. No comment.
Sounds like prejudice is coming.
No, I'll put it out there.
I've got my ear to the ground and I can hear prejudice.
In the words of your favourite man, Rafa Benitez, facts. Okay. Craig Pawson was refereeing the game and Marcus Rocco made that two-footed challenge, Man United versus Crystal Palace. Craig Pawson was refereeing the game where Jamie Vardy made that two-footed challenge, Stoke versus Leicester.
There you are, you see. It's all there.
Yeah. Okay, I am going to put some more comment in there. What is he doing? How on earth is that Vardy challenge worse, deemed more punishable than that Marcus Rocco two-footed challenge?
Well, it did have 2 feet off the ground.
But it was...
Foreign.
Objectively speaking, you cannot say that was a worse tackle than the Rocco challenge.
No, but I mean, you know, if he's made one mistake, it doesn't mean that he's got to be, you know, sort of held up and punished for it forever.
For me, the Vardy one was a yellow for me. It was a yellow, personally. He's got them the wrong way round. The Rocco one was a nailed on red and the Vardy one was a yellow. That's my opinion.
I think it's a strong yellow and a weak red.
Yeah, I can
is
see
that. Allowed?
That.
Is that allowed?
That. Yeah. Orange. What do you think, Speller?
I think I'd say send them all off. No, I don't think Vardy was a sending off. I can sort of see in the heat of the moment because Vardy did look like he jumped in and his feet, both feet were off the ground. But he was pulled back a little bit, and he did seem a bit harsh, yes.
Yeah, and also, I mean, Pawson missed everything in that United Palace game, as we said, and I thought he struggled.
He's still refereeing when the game had finished.
Yeah, right. He struggled, and I think he probably needs a week or two off. Maybe he's trying to get Christmas off.
You want to be careful. You want to be careful here, mate, because referees are protected like lions.
They are.
Yeah.
What does that mean, though? Because the lions themselves are actually dangerous,
in cages,
aren't they?
Or yeah. I don't
that's
know.
More for our safety than theirs, though, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Andy King reckons Leicester have got their champion spirit back after coming from two goals down and a man down as well. It was a great point for Leicester.
They didn't come back from a man down. They didn't play their way back up to 11.
Yeah, true.
There's nothing you do about that.
Yeah,
Mark Hughes would have been absolutely fuming, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
He would have been fuming.
Yeah, he would have done.
He really would have. But it was a strange old game. Boyan, whatever we're calling him, he looked very emotional before his penalty, and then he did that really little boy thing of doing the celebration where you pretend you're a little plane. I just loved that sort of the huge change in his, you know.
Is that the Vincenzo Montoya? Is that the...
He used to do that?
Yeah, he used to.
Tella,
sorry.
Spanish.
Yeah.
Damari Gray and Leonardo Ulloa came on, made a difference. Mm. Made a difference. I did think to myself, if Leicester, they're not getting much joy with Vardy up front, and Vardy, we should say as well, did he fancy Christmas off maybe? Mm. Well, although it wasn't really his, that was a harsh one. Mm. Him and Slimani up front, Vardy hasn't had the joy this season, of course, and the way they like to play on the break last season, they did a little bit of that against Manchester City. Would a Joa be a better option every now and then? You can hold up the ball a bit more, get his head on things. Well, I know Slimani's meant to kind of do that.
As well in a
well, yeah. People don't concentrate on him as much, would they? So
I always thought that Slimani was meant to just be an upgrade on a Joa.
Yeah, but if it's not working working out. Joe is, you know, he knows the league.
I think he's a good player, and I've said for a couple of years now that his game is perfectly suited to the Premier League. When they signed him from Brighton, I thought, you can see why they want him. He's so big and powerful. Teams in the Premier League can't really defend that well. I mean, we saw that with Stoke. I mean, the Ajoa goal, which was a good header, but I mean, defending was dreadful. Like, the ball was in the air for such a long time. The centre back, I forget who it was, just let the ball go completely over top of him. He looks around, sees Ajoa there, who's known as a brilliant header of the ball.
Yeah.
Right, he knows the cross is coming in. It's quite a high cross. Ajoa has to generate some power off it. It's not whipped in. He's just got to glance it in. Ajoa takes a few steps back, and he's all the time in the world to header it. And the defender is just floundering.
Mm.
So his game is perfectly suited. If you put balls in the box to him like that, he'll score them. He'll score goals.
And DeMarco Gray can whip a ball in.
He can. He can. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And Leicester will take a lot of heart from that. And if Vardy, you know, was a straight red, so he could miss, you know, a few games unless it's rescinded or I've not heard.
He's already been sent off this season, hasn't he?
Has he?
I think so. I think it's his second red card of the season.
Maybe Ajoa could get a little run in the team, and their fortunes could. No, I'm not saying that he's a better player, but
that's the problem, isn't it? With someone like Vardy, he's now, because this is what we do in England, his reputation is absolutely huge because he's now an England forward.
Yeah.
He's not had a brilliant season, has he? But it's difficult for Ranieri to make that decision because he's going to get the fans on his back. Probably they're going to like Vardy because of what he did last year.
But now's his chance.
Yeah, now he's got a chance. Now the decision's been made for him, hasn't
it? It's odd, isn't it? It seems so strange to say this after, you know, the season that Leicester had last year and how together they were. And I know they've added a few players, but it does look like Ranieri doesn't know his best team.
Yeah, maybe.
It's strange, the disruption that they've had just from losing Kante.
They did lose an important player, but what I would also say is that we used to allow strikers to go on goal droughts, and we don't seem to do that anymore.
Like a Newcastle fan.
Spoken very much like a man who plays up top for a Sunday league team.
But down the South Coast, as Portsmouth fans will tell you, we very much do allow a goal drought. It's not a problem for us.
Ironically, next to the sea.
Yeah, in quotes, we stick with our players. Exactly, yeah.
Sunderland got a good win against Watford. Cats, they're off the bottom. They're 1 point below Palace and safety.
I tell you, being off the bottom before Christmas is a big thing as well, because there's so much that comes with that stat every year about how
only three teams have ever got out of it, I think.
And it kind of, whoever's there, they have to deal with all that as well, on top of all the other pressure that you have. And for Moyes to not have to think about that over his Christmas dinner is going to be brilliant.
Well, Mike more than a feeling is obliged, doesn't he? I think six out of the last seven champions have been top at Christmas, and all teams, with the exception of three, I think in Premier League history, have been bottom at Christmas, have gone down. I think the first team to get out of it were West Brom, famously, because I think they beat Portsmouth day, and that's why I remember it.
Mm. I mean, but suddenly they've got their problems with the lack of cash. Moyes said that he may not have taken the job if he'd have known how little money there was for the January transfer window.
That's massive, isn't it?
That's revisionist from Moyes, given that his reputation was in the absolute gutter before he took that Sunderland job.
But is it a way of trying to force some money out?
Probably is, yeah. But he was very lucky. In my view, he's very lucky to get a Premier League job again.
Yeah.
So he had to take that. I mean, if he steers Sunderland out of it, he's going on his way to repairing his reputation.
But I mean, Sunderland, historically, they're always in this position around about Christmas, and they always overpay for players. So it's probably good. It's probably good for them if they just take a December off.
Wasn't Moyes saying, like, back in the earlier in the season there, that he was just openly saying a lot of these players aren't good enough?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a funny situation. You say it's best for them to take December off. Is that spoken like a true Newcastle?
Well, they take September and October off.
They already took August and September off. You can't do two
months
out of
five. Financially.
Okay, right.
They're not gearing up for the January.
But Watford are struggling. They're 7 points above the relegation zone at the moment. They've lost four of their last five because they were going really well. And it's not a good it's not a good time for them.
It's hard to know what form is anymore, because all of these teams that kind of you'd historically assume would be just above the relegation zone aren't.
That's
so you're like, what's normal parity? What's normal in this league?
Well, Troy Deeney's struggling for his 100th Watford goal.
That's been on the cards for ages. BBC and everyone's been doing big VT features on Deeney, and he's not getting that 100th goal.
It's a shame for him. But what about this? I mean, the former Sunderland manager, Sam Allardyce, speaking on...
San Kasapa?
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Did he? Speaking on Qatar's premier football show, hosted by Keys and Gray, of course, he said he's ready for a return to management, saying, I think I will return probably in the new year, if not before, depending on who approaches me. Not much time.
12 days left.
If not before.
Yeah.
Well,
now pass the brandy, Keezy.
Well, technically speaking, there's 12 days left. There's no way you're getting a job on Christmas Day or Boxing Day or New Year's Eve. There's 9 days left.
Wait, do you think between those three, Elvino did flow?
100%. 100%.
West Ham, they've turned their fortunes around with a couple of wins. They were lucky against Hull. Hull should have been away. I mean, they were unfortunate with hitting the post a couple of times, but some chances they missed.
Yeah,
they did. They really needed that as well. And then a questionable penalty was given, and oh dear.
I mean, Mark Noble very nearly scored an own goal, didn't he? He headed it onto the onto his own post and then scored the penalty. So that's a nice turnaround for his fortunes there. But they were second best. It was ridiculous.
West Ham did
that game.
West Ham did a Twitter poll, didn't they, for them for vote for the man of the match, and they actually put the post in the option.
and it won
by miles.
Fair enough. Yeah. But Slaven Bilic has cancelled the West Ham Christmas party. He's allowing these players to have a little drink because they've had back-to-back wins.
What's the difference between a party and a drink?
Well,
Pete, that's a question you failed to answer your whole life. Yeah.
I'm glad you asked, Pete.
This is for your therapist.
What, you weren't saying that at 2 a.m. on Saturday after the old Ramble Christmas dinner, were you?
Yeah. I was saying, come on, let's party. No, me and you were having an argument about Donald Trump, as I recall.
Yeah. I'm very much anti-Trump and Pete's Christ. Pete's
think he's got everything in his locker.
Pete's using his online experience to help out Donald's campaign. They've both got Donald in their name. Is it a coincidence?
I think
Donald's
son.
How he sees himself.
Oh, Donald's son!
Oh, no!
It's all becoming clear.
Crap.
Jet fuel can't melt steel beams. The conspiracy is real.
But I'm glad you asked, though, Peter. What's the difference between a drink and a Christmas party? Well, Bilic himself said, there's something between having a couple of beers and getting smashed for three nights in a row. Oh, he's enormous.
Whoa,
a
that's a big party. That's a long
between
party.
Spectrum there.
Yeah, a huge amount in between. Bournemouth lost...
He's met Carroll, to be fair.
He has met. Bournemouth lost the big South Coast derby 3-1 home to Southampton. Jay Rodriguez, good to see him back.
Yeah.
Among the goals for the first time, I think, since 2014.
His second was a belter, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good.
A belter.
Turn and volley.
Oh, Southampton up to seventh. They're going places, Luke.
Yeah, Jeremy Lavender got in touch on the Facebook. Hello to you, Jeremy. He says, my highlight of the week, I'm just doing this a bit early because it's contextual.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
That's how radio shows work.
Thanks,
sometimes.
J-Lav.
I've heard all the main proper radio shows doing that. Mm. The Mark Clattenburg extravaganza with Bournemouth v Southampton on the undercard. The commentary team noted how Mr. Clattenburg was signing autographs in the parking lot before the game. When your derby is so small that it's overshadowed by a ref, can it really be called a derby? I agree with you, Jeremy. I agree, and no, it can't.
Oh dearie me.
Before you move on from Premier League chat, apparently Zlatan's got the best goal scoring start, second best goal scoring starts. I can't even speak, I'm so excited about that.
No,
the second best goal scoring start of any striker in Premier League history is behind Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Wow.
And Zlatan's 35 years old.
Superb.
Amazing. Hang on, the best.
I think he's got 11 Premier League goals in 16 games, which is second best start in terms of goal scoring to your Premier League career, behind only Ruud van Nistelrooy.
Alan Shearer was still not having him as world class, whereas Phil Neville said he was.
Alan Shearer seems to think that only like two players can be world class at once.
Ever.
It's so bizarre. Yeah.
You're allowed one per continent.
Yeah. I do agree with Alan Shearer that the term world class is
bandied around.
Yeah, but I don't think he means that. I think he uses it as a byword for players he either personally dislikes or who thinks are a bit overrated, and he just sticks his heels in about it.
Yeah.
You can't say Zlatan's won 13 league titles if you could count Chopley. Yeah. 30, that's 13 seasons worth of world titles, championship titles.
Did he win it with Blackburn?
No, he didn't. It's true. Yeah. To be fair, one title with Blackburn is probably worth about 13.
I mean, the second best goal scoring start in history isn't the best goal scoring start in history, is it?
So. No, it's true, actually. Yeah, it's true.
It is true. In the Championship, Birmingham were beaten 2-1 by Brighton, another big side on the south coast.
Oh, that was a great game.
Spoiled Gianfranco Zola's return to English football. He's replaced Gary Rowett.
For some reason, sometimes we forget to talk about stuff, and we forgot to talk about this when it happened with Gary Rowett leaving.
Bit of a surprise.
Absolutely farcical. The farcical decision. Essentially, I've got no problem with Birmingham. I think they're a fine club, nice stadium, all that other stuff. Sad to see him get relegated to the
Premier
League.
Stop doing that sign when you say
no,
that.
I've got no problem. I've got no problem with it at all, genuinely. No, I haven't. Don't undermine what is essentially a semi-serious point.
I hate Villa.
I'm pleased they lost at home there, because if you fire a good, promising young manager who's doing a good job for you on the straightened circles and hire essentially just a name, I've got no problem with Zola either, but Gianfranco Zola as a manager is just a name. We've got Gianfranco Zola as a manager. What else did he do? Well, don't worry about that. It's Gianfranco Zola.
But isn't it just...
You're going to get beat a lot.
But isn't it just they feared the fact that the original manager wouldn't be able to bring in the sort of talent that Zola would be able to attract, because there's new money coming in the club and they didn't necessarily trust him.
Pete, I absolutely agree that Gianfranco Zola can go and have a meeting with a young player and say, I'm Gianfranco Zola, come and sign for me. And they probably will. But he has no idea what to do with them when he gets them. Gary Rowett can manage a group of players. Gary Rowett is one of the finest young managers, certainly one of the finest young English managers in the game.
And they never get a chance, do they?
Well, happening again.
The problem is, Pete, all that stuff that goes on, and I do agree that people moan on too much about English managers not getting a chance. I don't think that's true. But this just serves to essentially put weight to their unfair argument.
Sherwood's sticking that on his fire.
When idiot owners are making farcical decisions because they've essentially hired the name Gianfranco Zola. They've not hired a manager. Yeah.
They want a better class of golfing buddy. I think that's the case.
That's true as well. They want an Alfred in their speech at the Christmas party. Mm. That's what they've got him now.
Gary, if you're listening, get yourself a job in China.
Come to Portsmouth. We'll bite your hand off, which will make it hard for you to manage. But sorry, mate.
Once we've done Brighton and we're finished with the relevant South Coast teams,
yeah,
we can come on
thanks,
to that.
Mate. Yeah, I appreciate it. If you excuse me at the end, I really appreciate it. Yeah. But on Championship news, by the way, David Wagner's apparently off to Wolfsburg. Mm. Huddersfield Town doing well there. Started the season very strongly. Wow. Friend of Klopp. Wolfsburg.
Indeed.
Good move for him.
Speaking of derbies, Jim, you're pointing at me. I just wanted to
point out Anthony Knockout's performance. He was absolutely fantastic against Birmingham.
I think he's the best player in the Championship.
Well, he's been knocking around, or knocking around the Championship for a long time. And, anyway, he's still only 25, and I think we're going to see him do well for some time. And I'd like to see Brighton get promoted for loads of reasons, but one of those is I'd like to see him in the Premier League, because he's a very exciting player.
Well, he was in the Premier League, wasn't he, with Leicester?
Yeah, he was at Leicester for a while.
He didn't
really
play much, did he, and it didn't quite work
then
out
he moved
for
to,
him.
He moved to Belgium. And
that's right. Yeah,
it sort of started his career. Then he moved to Brighton. He's been fantastic for a while. He's the best player outside of the Premier League.
And big Glenn Murray getting the winner as well in the
94th minute.
And the great thing about that is, by the way, that Palace can't buy a goal. Isn't he on loan from Palace? Well, they certainly sold him very recently. Mm.
Yeah, well, he was at Palace.
And they can't buy a goal.
Well, look at our top scorer. It's like, where did he come from?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Pardew was saying after the loss against Chelsea, there's nothing wrong with our goal scoring.
Well,
that's fine.
It's like the other week when he said we've scored the most. Well, to be fair, they have scored a few.
I mean, Benteke is...
Well, he said
they got four against Swansea.
He said the other week we scored the most goals away from home in the league. 15 we've got. Conceded 19. Literally the worst in the league.
Fiddling as crystals burns.
I know, he is.
Speaking of derbies, in League Two, it was the Donaldson Moor derby. Portsmouth versus Hartlepool. Here you go, Portsmouth.
Yeah, Hartlepool terrible, and Portsmouth couldn't beat him at home.
Because Trevor Carson, ex-Pompey, was in goal.
Yeah, probably.
It's wonderful stuff. Pompey are fourth, 7 points off an automatic promotion spot.
Well,
third.
They went for that phase of, because I bored you all to death with it, about they kept conceding late goals.
Yeah.
But they went for a phase of, scoring late goals. Mm. And so I was convinced they were going to nick this as well, but they weren't able to do that, because they will always let you down.
They are. I mean, look, they are. Portsmouth are.
Mr. Rowett, we will bite your hand off.
Yeah,
because that's how we say hello down there.
He's not going near. Well, from Hartlepool, that's weird. He's not going near a League Two club, even a big one like Portsmouth. But the one thing I would say is, an example of Portsmouth always letting you down, even when they deliver you the FA Cup, they go bankrupt. Yeah. There's always a sting in the tail.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. For every action, blah, blah, blah.
Battery's not included.
I'll tell you, if we ever get promoted back to the Premier League again, they'll find that the stadium subsided and it's going to end up in the sea or something.
It's under a big sinkhole.
Yeah. Over
the,
a big sinkhole.
Just on the,
more importantly,
to start with.
In one.
It'll be the opening day of the season, Man United or Arsenal, one of the big teams, are coming to town. Sinkhole appears 10 minutes before kick-off. Yeah. Oh, no.
That's a 3-0 win to United.
It's a real cauldron atmosphere. No, it's a literal sinkhole. Yeah, yeah. We're in one.
We can't satisfy our pictures. 3-0 to everyone.
Got a couple of points on the road, but relegated by October.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Let's go abroad after this.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble. Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Don't forget the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, is out on Friday, the last show before Crimbo. It's going to be a good one. What on earth have you got in your hands, Peter?
Don't look at it. I've got some emails.
No, the other hand.
Oh, sorry. I've got some emails. Just a couple of quick ones, just to shove them in. We don't usually do emails on a Monday, but I thought, you know what? It's Christmas.
You thought you've got some good ones.
We've got a bursting mailbag. Tony Rutt says, hi, Ramblers. Please accept this as my immediate resignation as official Ramble Stephen Taylor in Portland, Oregon correspondent, as my work is done. He and Portland Timbers terminated his contracts by mutual consent.
I'm pleased that's happened, because I'll tell you what, people are very, very keen to get up the old official Ramble title. They very, very rarely follow through on what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Hence the dairy farmer from the other week. Well, I haven't seen a pint of milk from him. Yeah, but I haven't seen a pint. Have you seen a pint of milk from him?
I haven't
seen nothing.
Raw or otherwise.
At least this guy's doing his job properly.
Exactly.
Yeah, very honourable that he's handed back the official.
Well, if we can find out where Stephen Taylor's gone next, then we can essentially get another one.
No, but he's an honourable chap, this guy.
Stephen Taylor Network. I'm all for it.
He's handed back his badge and his gun. Speaking of the aforementioned farmer, hello to Harry Watson. It says, good day, fellas. Guess where this guy's from? Given the agricultural team. Given the agricultural theme of today's ramble, I felt compelled to write regarding Luke's outrageous claims that a merino jumper would absorb water really well. Merino wool is well known for its water repellent and wicking properties, hence its use in undergarments, etc. I trust this finds you well, Harry Watson. P.S. I am an Australian merino sheep farmer as well as a pedant, so I feel I am reasonably qualified to comment on this matter.
I'm not going to take him on.
I thought that was nice.
I don't think I said that, did I? We were talking about cashmere originally.
No, I think you went something marine. So I think you added in merino later.
Like Guardiola wearing a cashmere sweater, and I said he won't be wearing that.
I brought in chenille, and nobody understood what I meant.
Okay. I thought you were talking about basketball.
I correct me if I'm wrong, and I won't spend too much on this because obviously it's boring. But I thought we said Guardiola's wearing a cashmere sweater. He should be wearing that in the rain. I said he'd be much better off wearing a merino wool one. And that's essentially what he's just said, isn't it?
I'm with the farmer.
Yeah, me too.
I can't remember, but I assume I'm with the farmer.
Yeah, fine. The guy knows what he's talking about. I don't, so whatever.
Nice to hear from a guy from San Marino.
get involved, though. Show at the Football Ramble if you want to say hello.
That's the one.
Show at thefootballramble.com, in fact.
Yeah, don't forget that. Otherwise, it'll bounce all the way back in your face. the World Club Cup. The big one. Yeah. The enormous one.
The whole point of the sport at club level.
Why do we not hear about this more? Yeah.
Are you a bit gutted that the World Club Cup's over now?
Yeah. I had the fever.
It really gripped us these last couple of weeks.
It's really hard to lift myself for the show knowing that was over. At least we've got 40 minutes to dedicate to it now.
There are probably people listening to this going, what? The World Club, that passed me by.
Yeah. Egg on their face when you mention these two words, Kashima Antlers.
Real Madrid 4, Kashima Antlers 2.
Beautiful.
I'm surprised Real Madrid had the wherewithal to battle back, because presumably they just didn't want to get injured for the league campaign.
Yeah. No. Well, if they played, I mean, presumably for marketing purposes, they played their big guns. So.
Yeah, and they went into extra time as well.
Incredible.
The players look pretty pumped, to be fair.
The Antlers nearly...
They want to win stuff.
But they won it in 2014 as well.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
The Antlers nearly won. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were 2-1 up, but they were 2-1 up, and then Ronaldo scored a hat-trick.
The absolute highlight of the game for me was...
Sergio Ramos?
Keylor Navas coming out and heading the ball away and absolutely decimating Sergio Ramos. He just pole-driving him into the ground. I was really scared for him. He got properly hurt. He was able to get up.
Ramos was like, oh, that's what it feels like.
Yeah. Well, maybe Navas is trying to test Ramos's limits.
Well, I'll tell you what, he passed that test with flying colours. He got up again.
Well, he should have been sent off.
Yeah.
I mean, this was the worst decision of the weekend. I mean, you talk about offside goals and your man, was it Paulson,
Craig Paulson.
Paulson, sorry. Ramos was on a yellow card in the 88th minute. It was 2-2 at the time. Player went past him, and Ramos is a professional foul.
Gone down.
And the referee sort of went to his pocket, and it seemed to sort of change his mind.
Okay.
Now that...
Smack in the ear.
Well,
in the ear.
I mean, you don't want to... Well, you do want to accuse him of something, but obviously you can't.
I mean, how does that suspension work? Are you banned for the next Club World Cup game?
Wasn't this the first match it used video replays?
It was the tournament, not the match.
Because Modric was really annoyed about it. It's disgusting. All of this is disgusting.
Was he watching the replay over the ref's shoulder? Yeah. You see, look, that's where I touched him. Yeah. Or I didn't touch him, rather. But yeah, that's right. In the tournament, the first... penalty was given thanks to a video replay, which was incredible, really.
It took like a minute or something, didn't it?
Yeah.
It took a lot longer.
Referee just ran to the side of the pitch and was watching it on a little monitor.
Yeah. And I'll defer to you, Pete, because you're the Japanese football expert here.
yes.
Kashima Antlers, I think, didn't they qualify as hosts?
They did.
Yeah, so they're champions of the host nation.
They did well to get to the final then, really.
They did. Well, the Asian champions were, how would you pronounce this? Jeonbuk Hyundai Motors.
I don't know.
We'll call them Motors.
Yeah.
Hyundai, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, Hyundai Motors. Yeah, it's the next bit. It was the first bit I was struggling with. They were knocked out in the quarters. The famous Brazilians that have played for Kashima include Zico, Leonardo, and Jorginho.
Oh, I remember Zico. I think that's the first time I heard of them. Yeah,
when I saw Venfrak Kohu just outside Tokyo, I think this team in question is like 100 miles above Tokyo. But when I went to see that leafy little team in the middle of nowhere, there was like two jobbing Brazilian footballers just bossing it. I mean, didn't do any work, but they scored like two goals.
Alex Bayos book, Brazil, the Brazilian way of life, he talks very extensively about how Brazilian players are just everywhere.
They really are.
He starts off with chatting to players who are playing in the Faroe Islands League. Yeah, Brazilian players.
There's a guy in Iceland as well, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's a brilliant book, right? Yeah.
Kasapa was Brazilian, so.
He was.
one of
our favourite Claudios.
Yeah.
Another frozen wasteland visited by a Brazilian player.
Speaking of records, Alvaro Morata became the first ever fourth substitute used in the history of men's competitive football.
What?
How about that?
It was an extra time, wasn't it? They get an extra one extra time, don't they?
That's right, yeah. It's a funny one, isn't it?
I think it was a Casemiro who came off, I think it was.
Was it?
It might have been Ronaldo, actually.
Oh, yeah, Ronaldo had to come off. Okay. I can't remember if it was from Morata. Should Morata be given a trophy for that?
No.
All right.
It does make
sense. Man United got him on for $12.99. Oh, it's been an incredible year for Real Madrid. It really has. I mean, since they sacked Rafa Benitez at the start of 2016.
All right, why did he put that in?
Since they sacked Rafa Benitez at the start of January,
what has happened,
Marcus?
Foolish.
Why is Pete not happy with this?
Yeah.
You wouldn't have got Monsieur Manji if that not had happened.
So Messiah.
Yeah, Messiah, sorry.
He would not have been ordained as our minister.
Right. Think of all those bed sheets that would have gone to waste just on beds.
Anyway, so since the sacking of Rafa,
Real
Madrid have gone on to win the Champions League, the Super Club, the Club World Cup, and go 37 games unbeaten.
Super Club, did you say? Jürgen Klopp's alter ego?
Marcus, what are you saying?
When he takes his glasses off, or has them knocked off his face, he becomes Super Club.
He's got, why have you got a phone box in the changing room? What are you trying to say there, Marcus? I'm just reading between the lines. Are you trying to say that Benitez should take a lot of credit for laying the foundation?
I should think so.
Jared Julia, the 98 World Cup.
Yeah.
Or
he should get his own medal.
Nigel Pearson at Leicester.
Yeah. 12.99 trophy.
I should say so. Let's go to the Bundesliga. Bayern are playing Red Bull Leipzig this week.
Yeah, this is a fascinating story.
And this is a big one.
I feel like we've been sleeping on this story a little bit. Like Red Bull Leipzig, a very, very controversial team in Germany for being funded by the owner of Red Bull, whose name escapes me, the Austrian guy. And they've been promoted 5 times in 7 seasons. They're now joint top of the Bundesliga. Mm. But they've been playing some good stuff. I mean, they've got Emil Forsberg, who's a really, really good Swedish playmaker, and he's player of the year last year in the second division when they were promoted. But for them to just... I know there's a controversy around how they've done it and how... You know, they circumvented the rules in Germany about...
Yeah.
leaning 51% fan ownership. It's and stuff very, like that. Very fan representation.
Yeah. Kind of shady the way they've done that as well. One really interesting thing is they're not actually called Red Bull Leipzig. They're called Rasenball Sports Leipzig, which means, I think it's Lawn Ball Sports.
It does, yeah, to get the RB in their name,
yeah,
basically.
Oh, right, yeah, so sorry, they've become sort of very deliberately, colloquially known
Marcus,
as that. And
you're right.
They never call themselves Rasenball Sport. And it's pretty shady. And it's the membership thing, isn't it? It's big in Germany, as you said, with the 50+1 rule. They've got 17 members, many of whom work for Red Bull. So
Because they bumped up the membership price to €800 each, which is like 10 times bigger than Bayern Munich.
And I don't think that's even for at that level.
Right,
I think
okay.
that's even to just like have a, not have a say to just
right,
be
okay.
a member.
But anyway, so they're playing Bayern Munich away on Wednesday night in essentially a top of the table clash. They've won 5 league games away from home and drawn a couple already this season. They're doing well.
Yeah, I mean as they're a,
doing,
as a team,
they're doing
players,
the business.
They're doing brilliantly, yeah.
Yeah, they're not liked in Germany. As you said, it's a couple of England. That's all the rage.
Fine here.
The thing is, without sort of, I hope I'm not missing the point. And there are many people out there who know a lot more about it than I do, and I understand that. But I mean, Bayern Munich are essentially. There's a hegemony there with Bayern Munich. I mean, they're ridiculously well funded. You've got Wolfsburg have got a history of being funded by Volkswagen.
Hoffenheim as well. Bayer Leverkusen are funded by Bayer, the pharmaceutical company.
So there is an element of this is a bit of a, you've come along lately, Johnny come lately, we don't like it sort of thing. But it's not hugely different, I don't think.
It's a tricky one in Germany at the moment because Bayern are not well liked because they've dominated the sport. And as you say, they're well funded. And then Leipzig, as you've said before, just a minute ago, that then they're not well liked. So that if those two are going for the league title, then... You're damned if one way or the other.
There is a rule in Germany that companies can invest in a team if they've done so for 20 years, or they can look, sort of like have a controlling say. So I think that's the case with Wolfsburg and with Bayer, where it's with Leipzig, they have circumnavigated that, so it's slightly different. And also, you've got a feel for Salzburg, who were their original team, who've now basically become like a feeder club for them.
Right.
I think three players have been sent from Salzburg to Leipzig.
What about Cologne? Well, those aftershave companies sponsor them.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't deserve that.
Have you recently had a child? Very, very dad-like tonight.
Tonight?
Dad jokes.
Every week, mate.
That's Bella's stock in trade.
Yeah, exactly,
particularly. That's what the listeners love him.
He's using a bull worker right now.
I feel like you three are my children.
No. That's a bit odd.
No, I don't like that.
Pete and I can't be brothers after the things we've done.
Oh, I'm pregnant.
Let's move on to Ligue 1, because this is a nice story, because Nice and Mario Balotelli will finish top of the league at the end of the year, after the main man scored a brace in a 2-1 win. They're 4 points above Monaco in second, 7 points above PSG in third. They finished fourth last season, 33 points behind Paris Saint-Germain.
Balotelli's having a lovely time.
He really is, and it's great to see.
He'll drop off.
He'll drop.
I think he's actually been out of the team for a while, but he was back at the weekend against Dijon, and he was absolutely mustard. How's that one, Marcus?
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The last time that Nice won the league, I think, was in 1959. But PSG are not having a good season by their own standards. Unai Emery is under increasing amount of pressure. There's talk he could lose his job if things don't perk up. The name's in line to replace him if he does get the boot, and this is wonderful stuff. Gus Hiddink, Fabio Capello, and Louis van Gaal. The big hitters.
I prefer van Gaal.
Would you? Yeah. Mancini was mentioned, but I think that those three. It's class, isn't it?
Van Gaal, like...
Why would they go near van Gaal now?
Di Maria's looking at that going, oh, come on.
Just waking up.
Oh, God, if it's working out for Juan Mata, someone's got to take this weird...
Just night terrors every night.
I absolutely love that. Before we go to the highlights of the week, we have to go to Argentina. We mentioned Juan Sebastian Verón coming out of retirement for an amateur side in Argentina a few months ago. Scored the only goal of the game, by the way. He's now going to come out of retirement properly this time for his former side of Estudiantes, after he said he would if fans bought 65% or more of the boxes at the club's new stadium. Which I think is a bit of a stupid thing the fans to do, because Verón's 41.
Yeah, and
he's training for the upcoming Copa Libertadores campaign. That's like Champions League. So it's like, do you want a 41-year-old man playing in your team? Because if you do, buy up a load of boxes. Why have they got to bolt them then?
Mate, it's Argentina.
It's just a legend there, and he's a legend there.
Do they have boxes?
And South America have a great history of letting sort of illustrious clubs be just mouthpieces and show and carnival floats for ex-players.
Indeed. By the way, we were mentioning Carlos Tevez. He's moved to China for a reported £615,000 a week at Shanghai Shenhua.
Wow.
Who were managed by Gustavo Poyet.
And really? And the talk is, I read an article or two this week saying that Oscar was being linked to him in China.
I think, he may have gone now.
Has he gone?
About 60 million. There was big talk about
okay.
that.
Okay. Crazy.
I'm off for China in February, so I have that.
Things. Yeah, you're not getting paid, though.
Window's shut, though, isn't it?
Oh, no.
Highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Here we go. Jasha Elliott. He says, my highlight of the week is Tony Cascarino's suggestion in today's Times that Ronald Koeman needs to employ David Moyes' tactics in the Liverpool derby tonight as, in quotes, his sides were always tough to beat. That's David Moyes, who managed Everton in 13 league derbies, winning 2, drawing 3, and losing 8. Hashtag, you would understand if you haven't played. You wouldn't understand if you played the game.
Yeah, right, exactly.
I'm going to do that hashtag again. You wouldn't understand if you haven't played the game. It makes more sense. Michal Maguire, friend of the Ramble, almost certainly. I've seen his name so many times. I don't forget a name like Michal very often. Mm. It's as soon as Marcus is obsessed with either the Magnificence or his secret other love, who you won't name, my beloved Celtic have now had the best ever start to a season domestically.
Yeah.
Whilst our league is crap in terms of quality, we're undefeated 20 games with 19 wins, averaging almost 3 goals a game. It's an achievement in anyone's book. 11 points clear with 2 games in hand. The honesty is strong in this group.
Hail, hail.
And this is a good one from David Doughty. Now, you guys may remember last year David got in touch talking about having Yorkshire puddings on Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And we sort of, I think I poo-pooed it. And we talked about it at length because that's the kind of, I think we were short of content that week. Anyway, he says,
we have a long on it.
And coincidentally, we're short of content this week. Yeah. So he's got an update. He says, this is my Christmas dinner Yorkshire pudding update. Last year, I wrote to the Ramble in search of support for my pro Yorkshire pudding / Christmas dinner argument that occurs in our household every year. Much to my dismay, my campaign fell at the first hurdle when Luke Moore, a man known infamously for his love of food, true, shot down my wonderful idea. Jim actually uttered the words, I think we should officially endorse this, before Luke chimed in with his uncharacteristically anti-Stodge stance. I had to wait a whole year to follow this up, but last Christmas I played the excerpt from the Ramble to my mum and dad to try and stoke up the old argument once again. After playing them my clip, my mum simply nodded, turned back to the TV smugly and said nothing. My dad simply chimed in with, what shit do you listen to? Can Luke please make a U-turn and officially endorse the Yorkshire pudding as part of a Christmas dinner so my poor family can finally put this debate to rest? I'll happily do it.
I'll endorse it too, yeah.
Christmas is about indulgence, right? If you want something, have it.
Sprouts out, pudding in.
My point at the time is Yorkshire pudding is with roast beef, but I don't want to ruin a family's Christmas, so I'm happy if you'd have it.
Again,
yeah.
Have I told you about the argument I have every single year? My mum insists on cooking the roasties the night before.
Nah.
No, that's all
not,
right.
It's
no,
not
no,
right. That, she cooks the meat the day before, or maybe 2 days before, and she leaves it out in the
night.
She just leaves it out in, like, what you would probably call a small courtyard. It's not right.
Can we come to your house and do a video?
It's not right.
To be fair, that is a way to do some things the night before.
Yeah,
it drives me mad.
In a courtyard, I don't know.
Marcus, if you don't mind me saying, you can mash your swede the night before. You can boil your carrots and your parsnips the night before ahead of roasting. You can't do your meat the night before. It needs to be cooked, have a bit of time for rest, and then be served.
I just don't understand.
You can slow cook it.
You can also
leaving it in the courtyard is not slow cooking.
Yeah.
How hot is it in
the for like 10? Yeah, but for my entire life, we only ever had roasties to cook the night before, and meat cooked like 2 days before, and then left to get cold. And we rarely have hot meat.
Pete, is this your elaborate way of asking if you can come to one of our houses?
Marcus's house has got a dog. I'm going there.
Courtyard.
What do you call it? A lobby. What you call a lobby?
A lobby.
Like, you come in. Basically, it's a UPVC police box that's on the front of your house.
What the hell?
Sorry, do you want to take a minute?
I have no idea.
It's a door you come in. There's another door. It's 2 doors. No, it's not even a conservatory. It's too small.
A porch.
There we go.
A courtyard.
A small courtyard.
when you're off back to Beano Town for Christmas,
I've got a few more of these, just real quick. I want people to get.
Otherwise, we need to get out the drawbridge. I mean, the door.
Yeah. I want people to get a mention because they've taken the time to email in. James Alistair David. A bit of a callback, but do you guys remember the oldest winger in town,
Dickie Borthwick.
Well, apparently he scored on debut for his new club and he got a mention in the Metro this morning.
He got a move!
A footballer scored his debut for his new club at the age of 81. Dickie Borthwick turned out for Dorset side Portland Town FC's veterans team in a charity match against a squad of youngsters.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Youngsters.
And
I mean, he's been usurped by the world's oldest paedophile that week, so... Well, 101.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. 101.
Sent to jail, to be fair. To be fair to Pete. You know.
So, he went
out loud.
Hey, do you mind if I get back to it? Andy Reid, a low light this week was Marcus Speller saying that Jack Wilshere was the greatest player in Bournemouth history on the preview show.
I wondered if that would come back to bite you.
George Best played for Bournemouth.
Oh.
I mean, he, admittedly,
Mark,
five
of, I mean, he played for a lot of teams.
Five appearances in 1983. Past his best. 15 years after winning the European Cup.
But sometimes you'll hear a fact about George Best, the team he's played for, and you go, what? Where did that come from?
No,
surprised he didn't play in the Faroe Islands.
Played for Dunstable Town, I believe. Yeah. As well. And this is the final one. And this is an old story, but I really want to bring it up in case people haven't heard it. And it's from Yunus Mohammed. He says, my highlight was finding this Roy Keane story.
Right.
And this is where it picks up the story from Roy Keane's book. And apologies if you heard this before, but it's very, very interesting. I don't think you guys have heard it. So I rang Mark Hughes. Robbie Savage wasn't in the Blackburn team when I asked Mark if we could try and arrange a deal. This is when he was Sunderland manager.
I remember this.
Sparky said, yeah, he's lost his way here, but he can still do a job for you. Robbie's legs were going a bit, but I thought he might come up at Sunderland and give us a lift, the way Dwight York had, a big personality in the dressing room. Sparky gave me permission to give him a call. So I got Robbie's mobile number and I rang him. It went to voicemail. Hi, it's Robbie. What's up? Like the Budweiser ad. I never called him back. I thought, I can't be fucking signing that.
I remember that at the time.
Yeah. I remember that one. Okay.
I think we might have read that out of the show before.
I love it. It's always worth it.
I've got a highlight. Dries Mertens became the first player to score back-to-back Serie A hat-tricks in over 42 years.
I was going to pick that.
Didn't he score it like 13 minutes or something like that? Wasn't it a record?
All past Joe Hart.
Oh, was it? Yeah, it was.
I think it was in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Because there was like, that story came out in the first half, I think, because he's got him in 30 minutes. And it was like, that's a hell of a story. And then a torrent of goals went in. It was like, wow.
But you hear stats, you talk about people going, oh, Serie A, you know, it's a bit defensive, I don't score goals anymore. And then people say, you know, that's a bit of a cliche, you know, it's not like that anymore. You're being lazy with that. You should watch some more Serie A. And then you hear stats like that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And there was a lovely hat trick in La Liga for Sevilla.
Yeah,
where a defensive midfielder, Vicente Ibora, he came on at half time and scored three, and it was a lovely scene because he got two, and it's very unlike this guy to score, or let alone be on two goals. They got a penalty in injury time. There was a big old discussion who was taking that penalty, and you could see him. He's going, "Come on, come on!" You know, and the regular penalty taker's just going, "Oh," and the captain's like, "Come on!" And he scores, you know. Yeah. But it was great stuff.
My highlight of the week was actually from that game as well, because Adil Rami got sent off for Sevilla. And he was arguing his case. He wasn't happy to be sent off. And one of the Malaga players waved a card at him. I just love that. You've seen the imaginary card from players to a ref, but like it's a proper sort of go on, mate, jog on.
Was it?
Brilliant. It's just so nonchalant.
That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
My highlight of the week is that Amazon ran out of our books briefly.
Yes,
they did.
But they're back in stock now. So get bloody ordering.
The Football Ramble book.
And also, if you can't, I mean, they will be in stock again at Amazon very, very soon if they're not already. But you can go to Waterstones and you can go to bookdepository.com, which has free worldwide delivery. Ooh. And of course, you can get the audiobook at the audible.co.uk/footballramble. And if it's your first audiobook, you can get it for free. So,
lovely.
Get it for a present. Get it as a present to yourself.
There we are, you see.
And that's going to be our last plug for the book. Week before Christmas, final one.
That's right. Treat yourself to the Christmas special as well.
Yes. Available now for Acast Plus subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed soon on iTunes and Sendal.
I enjoyed the Christmas special immensely.
I brought three games along. I brought along Good King Wenceslas.
You're never going to be able to remember these names,
Good King
surely.
Wenceslas.
Right.
While Freddie Shepherd watched his flock.
Right.
And I heard the barks on Christmas Day. They're the three ones I brought.
Yeah. I aced the Freddie Shepherd competition, not to spoil anything.
Yeah. Well, you have. You have spoiled it, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was it enough to win?
I know. Did I win the marathon?
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. You won that battle. Or did you win the war?
There we are. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. A Merry Christmas to you. We will be back, of course, with the preview show at the end of the working week.
When we can actually wish them Merry Christmas, because that'll be our final Christmas.
But we can still wish them a Merry Christmas now.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Well, that's right.
Have a lovely Yuletide.
And also interested in what people's favourite brand of mince pies are. I've been very, very into the Sainsbury's short crust in-store baked mince pies. Mm. Very strong.
I'm yet to have one.
Oh, come on.
I've only just realised that.
I'll bring some in on Thursday.
They're not going to send any to you.
No, I know. Well, you never know. But,
it's too late. They'll never get there.
Because I've heard Lidl are getting awards. Iceland have been award-winning this year.
They get that every year. And it seems to be... My mum... Oh, we always have this argument. I say, Mum, I'll bring one from like Fortnum and Mason's like tat, like a Christmas pudding and some mince pies and stuff.
You changed.
I know. Yeah. Gladly. And I come back and she goes, oh, well, no, Iceland have got the better ones. And then she eats them. And she goes, no, it's all right, though, isn't it? It's quite good.
There's some in the courtyard. Help yourself.
Yeah, if you do want to
get them from the helipad, Pete. Yeah.
Oh, these Iceland ones are rubbish. They taste like dog food. No, that is dog food.
Look, that's what you want after you've been out shooting.
Come back with... That's another story. You don't have to shoot your own mince pies.
On the hunt.
Are you hunting mince pies?
Well, I say we must leave. It's a podcast, not a radio show. We take as long as we want. But I think
Nanny's picking me up.
There we go. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Luke.
See you in the courtyard.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Send us a picture of your courtyard, guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.